Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, ladies and gents. This episode of the podcast is sponsored by iTalki. Sponsored by iTalki, that means that basically I give them a little bit of promotion at the beginning of the episode and they like give me a little bit of money in return. That's how it works. This is how I pay for the podcast. Well, one of the ways that I make this podcast happen, if it wasn't for my sponsors. This podcast might not even be happening. I might just be doing something else. I would be in a classroom teaching instead of sitting here talking to you on my podcast. So, you know, that's good, isn't it? Yes. And also, I have iTalki as a sponsor because I actually think their service is very good. I've used them for French lessons in the past. You could use them for English lessons. Basically, with iTalki, you can find a one-to-one teacher and have English lessons through Skype, just anywhere you want, because it's on the internet. I mean, it's better if you do it at home, probably, in a comfortable place where there's not lots of noise, and you just go onto iTalki, find a teacher that suits you, and they've got loads of teachers to choose from. There's lots of information about them, including particular skills that they might have, like if they specialize in doing exam preparation or business English or just general English or just conversations or grammar or pronunciation. Whatever it is that you want to work on, you're bound to find a teacher that will help you to do it. There are teachers from the UK, from the USA, from Australia, from Ireland, from pretty much anywhere. Certainly a lot of British English teachers there. You can see star ratings and reviews from other learners that have used them. You can see little videos where the teachers introduce themselves to you so you can get an idea of what they sound like, what they're like as people. You can have trial lessons with them. Which are cheaper. So you could just like, oh, this person looks interesting. I'll have a trial lesson, which is usually about half an hour. And it's normally cheaper than normal lessons. So you can kind of shop around, find the teacher that's right for you. And then when you're ready, buy some lesson time or talking time. And when you do that, iTalki will then send you a voucher for a free lesson, which you could use later, which is nice. And that's because you're a listener to this podcast. To get the offer, go to teacherluke.co.uk/talk or just click an iTalki logo on my website, all right? So it's good for you because it's a good service that could really help you improve your fluency. And it's good for me too because when you do that, you're supporting the podcast. Yes. All right then. So that's the promo done. Let's now get started with this new episode. And here is the jingle. You're listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. How are you? I hope you're doing well. Here is a new episode. And in this one, I've got a guest. I'm talking to Jennifer from the English Across the Pond podcast. You're going to hear a mix of both British and American English, and you can learn some slang from both sides of the Atlantic. Also, you can find out about Jen, her podcast, and the other language learning services that she offers to you with her co-host Dan on their podcast and also through their website. There'll be some more info on that in a moment. But first, let me give you a little bit of news here before we get started properly. A little bit of news then. So if you're a subscriber to my email list, then you will have received an email from me recently, I think last week, with a link to a post that I published on my website. Did you get that email? Did you get that? If you did, did you click the link? If you got the email and you clicked the link, then you will have seen that post. Normally, emails from me, if you are in my email list, normally emails from me just contain a link to a new episode. But sometimes I send you other stuff, like posts on my website, which you might find interesting. So basically, in that recent post that I emailed to everyone, I said a couple of things. One of them was that February might be a bit quiet for the normal podcast. I mean, these free episodes. because obviously there's the free podcast and then there's the premium podcast, you see. So February might be a quiet month for the free podcast. This is the second episode I've uploaded in February, and this might be it for February, actually, on the free podcast. And that's because I'm focusing on LEP Premium this month in order to make up for the lack of premium episodes in January. So if you're a premium subscriber, you'll see that you've been getting new episodes regularly this month, and that's going to continue throughout the month, but the number of normal free episodes will be a bit lower. In March, I expect things will be back to normal again. Now, this means that all the free subscribers can just catch up on all the episodes I've uploaded since the start of the year, which is quite a lot. But if you want more, you could just wait a bit for some new ones to come along, or you could consider signing up for the growing library of premium stuff. Now, new premium episodes this month include ones covering vocab and grammar from my recent conversation with Zdenek Lukas. I picked out over 40 bits of target language for you to learn from that, and so there are about four parts to that episode. And then in the pipeline, I've got premium episodes focusing on language from the Paul Chowdhury episode and the recent episode with James. So tons of language for you to learn. And this is all stuff that you've actually heard on the podcast, but I'm doing all the work of explaining, clarifying and demonstrating that language, and also drilling it for pronunciation and all of that. All to help you not just hear it, but properly learn it. And I do all of the work so that you don't have to, basically. To subscribe to my premium content, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium. The other thing I wrote about in that recent website post was that I was featured in an episode of the Rock and Roll English podcast. Now, do you remember Martin and Dan from episode 490? They're the guys from Rock and Roll English, which is another British English podcast. Just recently, they had me on one of their episodes, and we talked again about how to handle awkward social situations like we did the first time I was on their podcast. And we covered some pretty funny and fairly disgusting topics, including the ins and outs of giving up your seat on the tube, how long you should hold a door open for someone, and how to deal with poo smells in public toilets. Yes, the poo thing is a subject that quite regularly comes up in their episodes, the Rock and Roll English podcast episodes. Anyway, check out the episode archive on my website for the recent website post about Rock and Roll English, and that's where you can find the relevant links to be able to listen to that. So now then, onto this new episode of Luke's English podcast. This is another collaboration with a fellow podcaster. There are quite a few of us out there in podcast land, and from time to time, we invite each other onto our respective podcasts, as you will have noticed. This time, I'm talking to Jennifer from English Across the Pond. Some of you will be familiar with English Across the Pond. It's another podcast for learners of English, hosted by Jen in the United States and Dan in the UK. That's Dan. That's another Dan. It's not the same Dan from the Rock and Roll English podcast. This is another Dan. So they do weekly episodes focusing on different topics, and you can listen to their conversations, which include both British and American English. All right. Are you following this, everyone? Just be clear. I've mentioned like several other people's podcasts already. So there was the Rock and Roll English podcast, which I was featured on last week. And now I'm talking about the English Across the Pond podcast. And in this episode, I'll be talking to Jennifer, who is one of the hosts of English Across the Pond, with her co-host Dan, who is from the United Kingdom. All right. So, in this episode, you'll hear me talking to Jen via Skype. She was in California. And we chose to focus on slang words in British and American English. Slang, of course, means the sort of informal vocabulary, colloquial vocabulary, you know, the sorts of things that the sorts of language that you use in informal situations with your friends and stuff like that. So we decided it might be interesting to see how much of each other's slang words we know by playing a kind of UK versus US slang game. How much of Jen's American slang do I know? How much of my British slang does she know? What do you think will be the result? Who do you think is going to know more of each other's slang terms? And how much are you going to know as well? So we both prepared a list of 5 slang words and prepared to test each other. And that's what you're going to hear in this one. First of all, there's a bit of chat between the two of us so that you can kind of get to know Jen a little bit. And then we get stuck into the slang game. So as you listen, see if you can play along with us. Do you know all the words in this game? Keep listening to hear the words explained, defined and demonstrated. Now, I have a feeling that long-term listeners to my podcast might know some of the British ones, I mean the British bits of slang, because I've probably dealt with them in previous episodes of this podcast where I've probably used them from time to time. But do you know all of them? And how about the American English slang words that you're going to hear? All the answers to the slang game are on the page for this episode if you want to see them. And if you keep listening, you'll hear the answers too, of course. And also, keep listening until the end to find out about a nice offer that Jen and Dan have for you in terms of the Learning English content that they are providing on their website, okay? Anyway, I hope you're ready for some real slang from both sides of the pond in this episode. So without any further ado, let's get started. Hello, Jen. How are you today?
I am so good. How are you doing today?
I'm very well, thanks. So it's like the middle of the day for you, isn't it?
Midday, 1 o'clock, just had my lunch.
Very good.
And my little boy's taking his nap, and yeah, we're ready to rock.
Okay. Oh, it's nap time for your son.
It is nap time. I wish it was nap time for me too, but we're adulting, so.
We are adulting, exactly.
Yeah,
that's right. No nap time for us.
No nap time for us. Well, do you take naps?
I love to take naps, but the thing is that the problem is that if I nap too long, then everything goes wrong. If I sleep for more than about half an hour, then I wake up very confused and I don't know.
Groggy.
And I don't know where I am. I'm like, what year is it? What's my name? I don't remember anything. I've lost. I'm like an alien from space who's landed on Earth. What's going on? You know, that's how I feel.
Yeah.
Do you ever have that problem?
I wish that I had the problem of being able to sleep for longer than 30 minutes, like on any given day.
Yeah.
I have a really hard time napping. I'm a, what's the best way to put it? An overthinker, maybe.
Yes.
So I lay down and then I think, oh my gosh, I could be doing that. I should be doing that. You know, all right, fine. I'll just get up.
Right. So you need to get a bit of that Zen meditation going on in your life.
Well, you know, surprisingly enough, I do, and I get pretty mindful, but yeah. I do the mindful thing, but yeah.
Okay. Sometimes that's better than napping, because if you can just sort of meditate and be mindful, then that's kind of good, because sometimes falling asleep for half an hour is kind of like wasted time, because it's just like, I don't remember any of that. No idea why I didn't achieve anything during that time, except having a bit of sleep.
Yeah. So do you practice mindfulness, am I gathering?
I don't know. I don't know. If you ask some of my friends, they would probably tell you that it's quite the opposite, that I'm completely absent-minded. I don't know, really. I'm interested in meditation. I've done bits of yoga and stuff like that, but I've never really applied myself to it fully. But I think probably because I've read about it and I've done it from time to time, I think it probably does sort of come into my life without me necessarily saying to myself, I'm going to be mindful now. I think probably it's more just something that's kind of crept in to my, to the approach I have to life, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah.
Probably.
So do you just like drop down and do some yoga poses? You're like, wait, how did I get here?
Right. Yeah. I'll just,
I don't even know how I got here.
Yeah. I'll just roll out of bed and like, oh, I'm in the downward facing dog. How did this happen? Just roll with it. Just a normal part of my everyday life.
Well, that's how I get out of bed.
Is it really?
Okay. Roll over to the downward dog. Yeah.
And then up to,
I thought that was normal.
And then up to one of the other poses.
Yeah.
It's just one pose after the other, all the way to the bathroom.
Yeah. Is that not a worldwide thing? Maybe just a US thing, huh?
Which bit? The
rolling out into the downward dog and then yogaing to the bathroom.
I think so. I suppose so. Yoga to yoga as a verb, like yogaing somewhere. Yeah, it hasn't quite caught on yet over here in Europe. So, but you're often a little bit ahead of the game over there in the States. So maybe that maybe in a couple of years we'll be yoguring around the place.
You'll catch up, yeah. And I mean, it's a perfect theme for what we're doing today too. Like,
yes, you know. Language differences in language. I was going to say, so you're in the United States, but exactly where are you at this point?
So as of now, today I'm in San Diego.
Mm.
It's beautiful. It's winter and it's like 65 degrees Fahrenheit, which, you know, I'll leave it up to you or the listeners to say what that is in Celsius.
I'm just Googling it right now because I'm not familiar enough with Fahrenheit to know. It's about 18 and a half degrees Celsius.
I mean, not bad to be wearing like pants and a t-shirt in wintertime,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, very nice. That's winter in California.
That is winter in California. The morning's kind of cold. Like the morning can drop to 50, you know, like 50, 55.
Mm-hmm. Fresh.
Kind of depending on where you are. Oh, beautiful. It's so nice here.
Oh.
And yeah, so California, West Coast. I'm about 45 minutes from the beach. So
Stop, please. You're making everyone else feel jealous. It sounds too nice.
Well, you know, I think some people think San Diego and they think like I wake up and I'm looking at the ocean and like I would dream of that, but I don't have just $1 million lying around for the beachfront view. So, mm-hmm. You know.
Well, it sounds pretty great anyway.
Yeah, where are you?
I'm in Paris, which is
Paris.
Paris. Which is, you know, also special in its own way when they're not burning cars on the Champs-Élysées. Because they've been doing that recently. Have you not seen the news?
Yikes.
Yeah.
I have a lot going on. I don't always read all the news.
Well, if you catch up on the news of Paris, usually what you see is images of people smashing things and burning cars because, there are a lot of unhappy protesters. It's one of the national sports in France.
I was going to say, fun fact right now, when I Google Paris, very first article I see is Parisians brave chilly temperatures to attend play in the nude.
Well, there you go. If they're not smashing up cars in the street, then their nudity is the second thing that they'll be doing.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, so it's never a dull moment over here in Paris. We don't get the nice climate that you have in San Diego, but we have ways of entertaining ourselves, you might say.
Yeah, I'm going to say you have, you know, you might do a little better in like the culture area of things.
Naked theater, yeah.
Naked theater. You guys are ahead of the game in that, I must say. I've never attended Naked Theater. I've never even seen tickets for that, but I might do a little Googling later.
Yes, a few image searches, perhaps. Watch out. Make sure family...
Wait. Just to be clear, I mean Googling tickets. I'm not going to be Googling the nude.
Oh, of course. Sorry. Now then, so the idea is that in this episode, we're going to kind of test each other on our knowledge of the slang from each other's version of English, right?
Yes.
So I've got five items of British English slang. You've got five items of American English slang. And we're going to see if we know each other's slang words. So I'm going to go first. I've got my words lined up here. First of all, are you ready? Do you reckon you're ready?
I am ready. I'll wait till it's my turn. You go ahead.
Okay. And how do you feel? Do you feel confident? Do you feel like you know British slang? Has Dan, your co-podcaster on English Across the Pond, who is a fellow Brit, has he taught you much British slang?
You know, he does teach me things from time to time, but I will also say I'm a little nervous because he says things sometimes that I think... What on earth are you even talking about? So British English definitely has a lot more expressions that my little American ears are not familiar with.
I think it's interesting. We'll maybe talk about that in a bit and just the kind of exposure that Brits and Americans have to each other's version of the language and stuff like that. Okay, so let's get started. What I'm going to do, right, is I'll do it like this. So And the listeners can kind of follow this too, right? Hopefully the listeners will be kind of playing the slang game as well with us as we go. So
I love that. Slang game. Sorry, I love that.
Slang games.
Slanggames.com. Yes.
Get that URL. Get that domain name.
I'm already purchased.
That was quick.
I know.
Wow, you know your domain name purchasing abilities. That's very impressive. So here's how it's going to go. Here's how it's going to go down, as you might say in America.
Yeah, that, exactly. You? God, you're good. Let me take that one off the list. Just kidding.
So I'm going to say just the word or phrase on its own, and you can tell me if you know it, perhaps even give me a definition and an example.
Oh,
if you know it, right?
So and if I don't know, I'm going to go ahead and just try something, I'll pull it out of my boop to try to make it happen.
Sure. Okay. You can just guess if you don't know, but then if you're not sure, I will put it in a sentence for you and that might help. You can probably work it out. And if you're still not sure, I'll give you more context and you can probably work it out from that. All right.
Okay, cool. This is taking me back to the third grade spelling bee. So I'm
yeah,
ready.
Sorry. I don't mean to patronize you at all here, but you'll be doing the same thing to me. So it all is fine. And then we'll just make sure that everyone knows what it means. And I might ask you a question or two just for a bit of a chat using the phrase and then we'll move on.
Can't wait. This is going to be so fun.
Okay. So the first bit of slang here is the word buff.
Buff.
B-U-F-F. No Googling allowed.
I know. That would be cheating. I'm not a cheater.
You're not a cheat.
Buff. Well, I think buff is exactly what we were talking about earlier. Well, okay, yeah. I have two guesses. My first guess, I'm actually going to change.
Do you want to know if it's an adjective or a noun or a verb or something? I can do that. I'll tell you it's an adjective.
Yeah, I think it is used to describe someone with very large muscles.
Exactly. Wow. That's exactly it. So,
yes,
it means sort of muscular or toned. For example, you're looking buff. Have you been working out?
You're looking so buff. Yeah, wow. Are you going to the gym?
Have you been going to the gym? Have you been working out? Yeah.
It must be all the yogaing.
Exactly. All that falling out of bed into the downward facing dog. It's really paying off in terms of my muscle tone.
Yeah. So do you want to know what my other guess was?
Yes, go on.
It was going to be naked.
Ah, well, we do actually say in the buff.
In the buff, yeah.
Do you say that too?
We do. I almost put it on the list today, but I'm like, that's too easy.
Yeah. In the buff, meaning naked. Already quite a lot of nudity in this episode.
I know. People might get the wrong idea either about me or you. I don't know.
Well, I don't know. Maybe some of our listeners are okay with that. Maybe they're listening, in the buff right now. Maybe they're all in the buff. I don't know. I've never actually asked my audience about that. But anyway, maybe they can keep that to themselves. Yeah. It's up to them. But anyway, buff. Yeah, buff. So do you actually say buff in the States?
We do. Wow. God, your arms are buff.
Right. So you do say that.
We do say that.
Right. Okay. Well, there you go. There's so, 1 point.
So move that to your British and American English column.
Okay. Wow. You're looking really buff. Have you been working out? Okay. So good. I was going to ask you, well, I mean, we've already talked about doing yoga or yogaing. I think we usually use the word for men, I think. I think we normally use this. Yeah.
Definitely, I would say typically used for men. I think because not trying to gender type here, but men typically are more muscular by nature than women, unless a woman is working out to get muscular. A lot of the times in American English, anyways, we use toned.
Right. Yeah.
Or toned. Lean. Like, wow, your arms look so toned. You look so lean.
Toned or lean. Okay. All right then. I was going to ask you, do you work out? Do you go to the gym?
I started going to the gym recently again, but I typically use the cardio machines and, I take classes at the gym. So I'm not really the one lifting weights and pumping iron, as they say.
Right.
I am doing the machines and stuff.
Cardio. It's a lot healthier than muscle training, I think.
Well, I have to say that in last month, I had to run to catch a flight. And between my terminals and I was out of breath, my heart literally hurt.
Whoa.
And I thought, this is not okay. Mm. Even though I do a lot of yoga, I'm pretty active. Mm. I realized the cardio wasn't happening enough.
Right. Okay. All right then. Next one. Are you ready for this? Number two is the expression a butcher's, okay? And that's, so two words, all right? And then butcher's, like butcher, apostrophe S, a butcher's.
Oh, wow.
It's a noun, obviously.
You got me.
I can give you more. I could give you more context. So you might say, you might say, let me have a butcher's at that, or give me a butcher's at that thing. For example, giz a butcher's at that new phone of yours.
Oh, this is so new. I love this. I have no idea. I would guess, like, let me have a look.
Exactly right.
Oh, yes.
Maybe the context helps you a little bit there, but
yeah, 100% the context helped. Without it, I would be lost.
Okay, well, there is a butcher's. Now, normally a butcher, I mean, do you, I suppose you have butchers in the States, right? I mean, it's used the same word.
Yeah, a butcher, but I'm vegan, so.
Oh dear, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm pushing you into potentially difficult territory there. Well, anyway, sorry for bringing up the subject, but obviously a butcher is it's a shop where they sell meat, ladies and gentlemen, listeners.
Yes, it is.
So that's a butcher.
I was going to say, I didn't even know. My mind was like, oh my gosh, is it? I mean, woo!
You're
a little scare there, huh?
Well, sorry. Okay, well, a butcher's, it's actually Cockney rhyming slang.
Ooh.
Do you know about Cockney rhyming slang?
Not enough to explain or even tell you what I know, but I've heard of it.
It's pretty amazing, actually. So Cockneys, who are basically from the East End of London, they developed their own set of slang words, which made their way into British English slang in general, especially if you're from the South. And it's based on things that rhyme. So a butcher's is actually a butcher's hook. Okay.
Okay.
A butcher's hook. A hook, obviously, like a metal thing. Sorry for vegans, all vegans. I'm sorry. You'd use a hook if you go fishing or if you've got, you'd use a hook. You'd use a hook to hang a picture on a wall. You'd have a hook
exactly.
as well.
Exactly. Right? Yes.
A picture that's made out of like just wood and, you know, leaves. I don't know. Stuff that's not animals, whatever.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. So anyway, so a butcher's hook. And it rhymes with a look. So a butcher's hook is a look. But Cockneys don't say the whole thing. They just say the first part. So it's giz a butcher's, and it means give us a butcher's hook, which means give me a look.
So I'm so curious, though, because it comes from rhyming. And so the main idea here is to have a look. So look.
Yeah.
Trying to find a rhyming word. Obviously, the rhyming word is hook.
Uh-huh.
Why wouldn't it be like
give a hook?
The reading book. Give me the book.
Well, because Cockneys are more interested in butchers, and you know, that's the sort of thing that would be in a Cockney's daily life. Like, yeah, just go down to butchers, you know, that sort of thing. It's all based around market trading, you know, that sort of imagine a market in the street where people are selling vegetables and meat and all this stuff. So that's the language of that kind of environment. And there are others, for example, apples and pears. Do you know what apples and pears means? Pears.
Oh, pears.
So it's like, you know, just get yourself up the apples and pears. It's bedtime. Apples and pears.
I'm trying to think of everything that rhymes with pears. And all I can think about is hairs.
Stairs. Apples and pears.
Oh.
Stairs. Yeah. And also you got dog and bone, which is phone. Frog and toad is road. It's crazy.
That is nuts. It's like an entirely new language.
Yeah, yeah. It's ridiculous, and it's quite funny in a way.
Do you know this from speaking it and hearing it and using it, or just from like from contact?
It's actually just a lot of these bits of rhyming slang have just come into general usage now. So a lot of people know a lot of these things. Generally, so if next time you speak to Dan, you know, just say to him, you know, giz a butcher's, tell him that
giz a butcher's,
exactly, giz us, and it's us meaning me. I don't know,
us.
Yeah,
giz us a butcher's,
giz a butcher's, mate,
giz a butcher's, mate,
yeah.
Oh, this is so good. I'm gonna start using that here. So mark my words, that is gonna be showing up on English blogs across the internet. New American slang.
I certainly hope so. Okay, third item.
Number three
is the word chuffed. Chuffed.
Oh.
You know this one, right?
This one. I feel like Dan's used this one a couple times. Isn't it kind of like upset?
Oh, no, no, not at all. Quite the opposite.
Oh. Happy. It means happy. I'm so chuffed about it. I'm so happy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's an adjective. It means that you're pleased or you're pleased with yourself. You're happy. So, for example, I'm absolutely chuffed to bits.
Yes, chuffed to bits. Now that's ringing a bell.
So you're not just chuffed, but you're chuffed. So chuffed that you're actually in bits. I'm chuffed to bits.
I'm chuffed to bits. Giz a butcher, mate.
Butchers.
Oh. All right, I'll get it one day.
Chuffed.
Butchers.
I'm absolutely chuffed. So we'd say I'm really chuffed or I'm chuffed to bits, for example. I mean, one example would be, you know, like, I'm really chuffed to bits to have won the prize, or my daughter, I've got a one-year-old daughter, and she, whenever she does something for herself, something new, she gets this really chuffed look on her face. She's so chuffed if she does something right, you know.
So to ask a question, would you say, like, what gets you chuffed or what makes you chuffed or what chuffs you?
No, it wouldn't be what chuffs you. It tends to just be... I'm chuffed or I'm feeling chuffed, not what makes you, because we're not like trying to go out in our lives trying to make ourselves chuffed. Getting chuffed is just a consequence of something else. It's not an objective. It's just a thing that happens. It's just something that happens.
That's a really good explanation. It's not an objective. It just happens.
Yeah. So you just end up feeling chuffed. Oh, you know, I'm really chuffed with this new phone, for example.
When's the last time you felt really chuffed?
Well, just now, generally, in this conversation, because I'm chuffed because I got one point there, or you didn't, in a sense, in this slang battle or whatever it is we're calling it.
Slang game,
that's it.
Yeah.
When else did I feel chuffed? Don't know, just generally when I wake up in the morning and roll out of bed into a downward facing dog yoga position. I generally feel quite chuffed about that. Like, look, check out my yoga skills, and I feel a bit quite chuffed with myself.
That's so funny.
Right, next one.
Yeah.
This is the word gutted.
Oh, I'm so gutted, mate.
Absolutely gutted.
I am so gutted. I'm so bummed out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
I am just sad. I'm like, what a shame, you know, bummer.
Yeah, exactly. Gutted. Oh, gutted, mate. And it means, you've got it. You've defined it with other American slang words like bummer. Exactly. I'm bummed out.
That bums me out. I almost put that on the list too. That's very American.
So it means very, very disappointed.
Disappointed.
It's the opposite of chuffed.
Yes. Oh, I love your opposites there. Good.
Getting the opposites involved there just to keep things clear. So I've got one question for you then at this point. So how would you feel if these things happened? And I've got two things for you to think about. So how would you feel? Would you feel chuffed or would you feel gutted?
Oh, good one.
Okay. So here's the first one. Imagine this. Dan, your co-host, wins a podcasting award. All right. There you go. Dan wins a podcasting award. How do you feel?
I'm chuffed.
Yeah.
Dan. Because it's probably ours, unless he's doing something behind my back.
Well, how about this? How about if I extend it a little bit? Dan, so you're chuffed if Dan wins a podcasting award. Of course you are. You're happy for him.
Yes.
But what about if Dan wins a podcasting award and you don't?
Well, I'm still chuffed for my buddy, my pal.
Mm.
But I guess I'd be a little bit gutted because I'd say, well, what about the American? Everyone always forgets about the Americans, huh?
Yeah, well, I don't know about that. I don't think we're all like forgetting about Americans. I don't think it's possible. We can't. We can't forget about you guys.
Oh, yeah.
But okay.
That's a different episode.
Fair enough. Absolutely. How about this one? Another potential conundrum. It's not really a conundrum, but anyway. The next one is this. Tom Cruise, the famous movie star, crashes his car into your house, causing lots of damage.
Oh, I would be so gutted for my house, but chuffed to meet Tom Cruise.
Yeah, and he'd probably be quite cool with you, right? He'd be like, you know, oh, Jen, I'm really sorry I crashed into your house. And he'd probably like say, hey, I'm going to pay for it. And, you know, let's just sit down and have a cup of coffee. Maybe you want to be in the next Mission Impossible film. Something like that, you know, I imagine.
Yeah, and I'd be like, oh, Tom, I'd be chuffed to be in that. But, you know, I got some other things on my plate right now.
Yeah, you'd turn him down. You turn him down.
I turn him down. I'm not a woman for the camera.
He'd be gutted, I'm sure.
Yeah, he'd be gutted because I think I'd be a really good like supporting actress.
You'd be one of those women who's got kung fu abilities in Mission Impossible films. Because there's always there's always at least one high kicking, butt kicking lady in that film franchise. Right, next is this is the fifth and final one from the British English list, and this is the word knackered, and it's spelled K N A C K E R E D. So you've got a silent K, knackered, and it's an adjective.
I know that one.
Yeah,
you are probably knackered because you have a 1 year old.
Yeah, I'm quite knackered all the time.
I am knackered because my son woke up 3 times last night. I'm so tired.
Yes, exactly. You've got it. It means very tired or exhausted. Absolutely knackered. Yeah.
Yes.
So I was going to say, how are you feeling today? Are you feeling knackered or are you feeling full of energy?
I am feeling full of energy.
That's good.
Because my son is sleeping through the night these days.
Okay. How old is he now, if you don't mind my asking?
Yeah, you could totally ask. He is 2 and 4 months.
Okay, all right. So now he's sleeping through the night, and can I ask when that started? I'm asking just so I know when the sleeping is going to go back to normal.
About 1.
Okay, all right, good. So we're just entering the kind of more stable period then now, I hope. Although actually I say that, but our daughter does sleep okay, so she wakes up in the night and stuff and all that, so I'm slightly knackered, but not as knackered as I could be if she didn't sleep as well as she does
in the beginning. A lot more knackered, I'm sure.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, definitely. Don't worry, sleep is on the horizon. It's so close.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Okay, well, I think you did pretty well there. I think you got Buff correct. You didn't get a Butchers, Giza Butchers at that. Chuffed, I think you actually got it wrong first time, but then you corrected yourself. So I'm going to give you 0.5 for that one. So that's 1.5. And then you got Gutted and Knackered right. So that's 3.5 out of 5.
Ooh, nice.
You got there, which is 70%. And that's a good pass, I think, right?
Yay! Yeah, I won.
So now it's my turn.
Whew.
Okay, I'm ready. I'm pumped up.
You're pumped. All right. So U.S. slang, and I actually tried to get California specific slang and idiom.
Ooh. So it's all going to be about surfing and.
It's going to be gnarly.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa, gnarly, dude.
It's giving like
surfing slang, dude.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes.
A grip of something.
Sorry?
And I'm saying it naturally, too. So I'm not, you know, it's like a grip of something.
A grip of something. Break it down again for me.
A grip of something. A grip of something.
Okay. Is it like to get a grip of something, to have a grip of something?
No.
Ah.
It is just a grip.
A grip of something. Okay. I was confident at the beginning of this. I was thinking, I've watched films. I know all American words, but I don't know this. I mean, obviously I know the words on their own, but okay. Can you put it in a context for me?
You must have a grip of toys around your house.
Ah, right. Now I know. In London, it would be like, you must have bear toys in your house, blood. Which would be, yeah, that's London. That's modern London slang. Bear meaning a lot of.
Oh, yeah. Bear. That's a new one for me, too.
Yeah. Bear. B-A-R-E. And it's really just London. It's like a really specific London thing.
Where's Cockney?
Cockney's
come from? Around
East,
London, right?
East London.
Okay, yeah.
And Cockney's a bit sort of old-fashioned in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of working class people in a certain part of East London. But the Cockney was such a kind of well-known dialect of English, and the slang was so sort of unique
that it kind of became very well known. But these days, certainly young people in, let's say, South London, places like Brixton, are influenced by other things. Like they're influenced by a lot of Jamaican slang, because we've got lots of Jamaican communities in London, and and other things like that. So it's kind of really interesting that the sort of the slang that's quite common there these days. So if you're walking through London, you might overhear young people saying things like that, you know, I know bear man's in it, which means I know lots of people, don't I?
Bear man's,
meaning a lot of people, like, so you know, cool.
Like a grip of something.
A grip of, yeah, but a grip of something. I didn't know that one. I didn't get a point there.
No, that's okay though.
Can you just give me maybe another example of that? I mean, who might say that?
Oh.
Anyone.
A lot of people, yeah. I just have a grip of work to do later. I don't think that I'm going to be able to come out today. I have a grip of things I need to do.
Wow, I really like that.
A grip of things to do,
A grip of things, meaning lots of things to do. Okay.
Do you have a grip of work that you need to get done today?
Absolutely. I mean, it's late for me, but I've still got a grip of work to do.
Yeah, good. It feels good, though, when we get like a grip of things done, you know?
Oh, yeah, it does.
Yeah. It feels good when we get a lot of things done. So nice.
That has to be said, a gripper as well. A gripper. And it's got to be said quickly. You can't say, Jen, I'm afraid I'm very busy this afternoon. I have a grip of things to do. It doesn't work like that, does it?
You're so British.
I shall bid you
that
good day.
So
I shall bid you good day, my good lady, for I have a grip of things to attend to.
Exactly. Well, in American pronunciation, we really reduce the word of to sound more like a grip of stuff to do.
Right.
Grippa.
A grip of stuff to do.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, one down, four to go. Let's see if I can
get
the others.
One down, four to go. The next one is to rock something.
Okay. To rock something. Like
to rock. So a verb.
It's an infinitive. It's a verb. To rock something. Like you really rocked that thing.
Yes.
You really rocked that presentation yesterday.
You could say that.
But I mean, that would be some kind of annoying boss who's trying to be cool. It's like, Jen, I just wanted to say, I think you absolutely rocked that presentation yesterday afternoon. And I think, you know, the sales team wanted to just big up that presentation that you did yesterday. We all thought that you absolutely rocked it. You smashed it. That would be an annoying English boss who's trying to speak in cool slang at work in an annoying way. To rock something, I think, is to do something really well or to do it with a certain style, kind of to do it really, really well in a cool way.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That is good. And you did say to do it with style. So I should have made it a little different. So if I change it to say to rock clothing, to rock a type of clothing.
Okay. That means to wear kind of cool clothes with style. Like I'm rocking some, I don't know what it would be. Like I'm rocking this fresh cardigan. Right now.
God, you know, are rocking that cardigan. That's like very Mr. Rogers, and you are just rocking it.
I'm really rocking some dope corduroy trousers this afternoon.
Yeah, so you kind of threw in some British with trousers there.
Oh, yeah,
so,
pants. You
know, pants, yeah. You're rocking those corduroy pants.
Yeah, of course, you wouldn't say trousers. Damn.
We don't say trousers. Do you know anyone who really rocks a cowboy hat?
Ooh, do I know anyone who rocks a cow? I don't know anyone who rocks a cowboy hat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
I know quite a few people who rock a cowboy hat. My brother is one of them.
Wow. That's because, you know, you not just anyone can rock a cowboy hat, right?
Oh, no. You got to have that cowboy style.
You got to have a certain swagger about you. Do you have to actually live in a certain part of the country?
Well, it'd be preferred. No. I shouldn't say preferred. It would be, you know, I don't see too many people rocking a cowboy hat in San Francisco.
Right.
Or in downtown LA.
mm-hmm.
Los Angeles, you know?
Yeah. I'm thinking of that song, Rhinestone Cowboy.
What? I don't know what that song is.
Glen Campbell. It's like a rhinestone cowboy. You got your feet in L.A., but your mind's in Tennessee.
Oh, yes. That is exactly it. So if someone is rocking, I should say, a cowboy hat in L.A., their heart is probably in Tennessee.
Right. And I could imagine some sort of film, like a fish out of water movie about a cowboy from Tennessee who goes to Los Angeles and he's like all kind of like, well, good day to you, ma'am. And like all the, you know, he's kind of like totally.
Howdy, he'd say. Howdy, ma'am.
Howdy, ma'am. And all the people are, you know, kind of confused by it.
Exactly.
Like a kind of Beverly Hills Cop kind of thing, but with a cowboy.
With a cowboy.
Beverly Hills Cowboy.
Exactly. That probably exists, but well, you know, if not, you heard it here first.
Well, there was the Beverly Hillbillies, right?
Beverly Hillbillies.
Not the Beverly Hillbillies.
Hillbillies. And the Beverly Hillbillies, they really rock those like dirty clothes.
Right. Okay. Because they're hillbillies.
Yeah, they're hillbillies.
Okay. I got that one. 1 point.
Nice. 1 point for you.
Nice. Was that nice?
That was a mix between nice and all right. Nice.
Nice.
Are you ready for the next one?
Yep.
Number three.
Okay.
To post up somewhere.
To post up somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm thinking either it means you arrive somewhere or it means you kind of just go somewhere and you just kind of stay there and hang out for a while. Like just post up on the street corner or something.
Okay, so when you post up, are you arriving or are you hanging out?
You arrive. Yeah.
Oh, you should always go with your gut, Luke.
Damn it.
Trust your intuition.
Shit.
Ah.
So I was wrong. So what does it mean then?
It means to kind of wait around somewhere, to kind of hang out.
Yeah, of course.
So, you know, you have to run into that store. I don't really want to go. I'm just going to post up here and wait for you.
Right. Damn, mm-hmm. I didn't get a point.
I know, you know.
I'm only going to get a maximum 3 points out of this now.
Those Californians, they just really like to keep you on the edge of your seat with that new slang, you know?
Yeah, they do. Just on the cutting edge of slang.
We're really cool, you know.
Yeah.
Not to brag or anything.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Damn it.
So,
all right. Next.
Yeah, I really – oh, another like context. So I love to go to like the beach and just kind of post up all day long, enjoying the sun.
Yes, I see.
You know, reading a book.
See, we can't really do that here because there's just – you know, it might start raining. So there's no chance.
You just
never stay in one place outside for too long. Like just, oh, well, you know, I've got to be getting back. You know, that's the our version of it. Well, sorry, can't hang around. I've got to, you know, oh, it's freezing, isn't it? Oh, let's see you later.
Can't post up here. Got to go home. I if I were in Paris, I would post up right in that grassy area by the Eiffel Tower.
Mm.
Too cliche?
Little bit.
No, right.
You should. I mean, you've visited. You've been, have you?
There'd probably be like a grip of people there.
Oh, absolutely, and lots of people trying to sell you stuff. Lots of people hassling you and trying to sell you things. And I have to tell you, I'm going to smash some preconceptions here about Paris. A lot of rodent life as well in that area.
Mm.
I mean, literally rats. It's inundated with rats. I'm sorry, everyone.
Probably a lot of people rocking selfie sticks too, right?
Oh my god, yes.
Yeah,
it's selfie sticks, like borderline
central.
Selfie stick central, borderline slightly criminal dudes selling you knocked off souvenir merchandise
and rats
as well. They I mean, you know, they basically made a Hollywood Pixar animation about it, right? Ratatouille. That film is actually very close to being reality. It's very much an accurate depiction of French life when you think about it. Lots of restaurants and food and rats.
You are just crushing some Parisian dreams.
Yeah, but this is the real Paris that you don't necessarily see if you don't live here. I mean, I love the place. I love the rats. I don't actually spend any time with them, but I don't love the rats. They're horrible. But I mean, yes, I'm smashing the preconceptions. But there are lots of other charms and great things about this city. Don't get me wrong; it's a fantastic place. Okay, right. So, what's the next one?
I'm excited for the next one. I will be, shocked if you get this one.
Oh, okay.
To flip a bitch. To flip a bitch.
Okay. Now, I don't think it's literally meaning to take a bitch, either a female dog or a nasty lady, and flip her in the air.
And turn her around.
Yeah.
No.
I don't think that's something that happens a lot, even in California, where your lifestyle can be unconventional.
Anything goes here, but not that.
But not that. So I would say to flip a bitch, I reckon it means to lose your temper, to get angry.
You know what? That's really good, but nowhere close.
Damn.
Yeah.
So tell me what it means. Oh, give me a context then, if you can.
Hey, at the next light, flip a bitch.
Ah, right. So it means turn left or turn right.
No.
No?
Nope.
Do a U-turn.
To do a U-E, to flip a U-E, to flip a bitch.
A turn round, to go do a 180 U-turn and go in the other direction. Why do you say to flip a bitch then?
Yeah, so it's crazy. And I wanted to put this one on the list because I was in the car with – I used to live in Arizona and I was in the car with some friends. And I said that. I was like, oh, just flip a bitch up here. And they were like, what? I mean, they were shocked and I was equally shocked. Like, what do you mean you don't know what that means? You know, hello, it's so common. So very, very typical of Southern California. Mm. Flip a bitch to make a U-turn. And you know what? I don't know really what like the meaning is, but there is like take a Louis, flip a U-E, you know, because flip, you're kind of like flipping around.
Right. I see. Yeah.
And then I don't know where a bitch came from. And, you know, I could have done my research before.
It's all right. I mean, a lot of the time these slang things just seem to come out of nowhere and you can search for the origin of the expression and not really have a satisfactory answer.
Yeah.
I'm willing to just accept it. But I'm wondering, is it a very offensive thing to say? Because obviously the word bitch is a mild swear word. Is it rude?
I would definitely say it's not something you say in front of grandma or your boss or in a professional meeting because it does have bitch.
Yes.
So, and it's not offensive in itself, but just because it does contain bitch, which is a bad word, a curse word, it's definitely something you wouldn't say in like professional settings.
Yeah. So it's not like you're being specifically mean to a person in particular or anyone in particular, but just because it's got that word in it, it makes it a bit rude. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. In English, I don't know. Like, just do a U-turn. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what it would be. But to flip a bitch. Hey, you're going the wrong way. Come up here. Just when you get to the light, just flip a bitch or flip a bitch up at that turn.
All right. Well, there you go, listeners. If you ever visit Southern California and you get lost and someone gives you directions, then you'll know what they mean when they tell you to flip a bitch.
To flip a bitch.
Yeah.
Or you can impress your Uber driver when you're visiting LA or San Diego.
Right. Okay.
They'll be like, what?
I must remember that one.
Yeah.
Okay. We've got one more, do we not?
We have one more.
Okay.
And there's kind of an original meaning. It kind of has two. So I'm going to go for the newer-ish meaning, okay?
Okay.
So phrasal verb to trip out.
Trip out. Okay. Right. So, and you're saying there's two meanings. So do I get the option of 2 points if I get them both right?
You know what? We'll give you 2 points if you get them both right.
Okay. All right. So trip out, I think maybe the original meaning would be to get high on hallucinogenic drugs, for example, to drop acid, as people have been known to do in the California area.
It happens from time to time.
To drop acid and then to become, you know, to experience the effects of the hallucinogenic drug that you've taken, which may involve visual and potentially auditory.
Auditory.
Yeah, visual and auditory hallucinations to trip on a hallucinogenic drug. Is that right?
Ding, ding, ding. Yay. 1 point. Are you going to be 2 for 2?
To trip out and I'm tripping out. Oh, I'm just tripping out right now. is it to just kind of get really excited and to kind of have a just like, you know, I just did the slang quiz with Jen from Southern California and I am tripping out right now because there were loads of words I didn't know. Like, wow, that blew my mind to be excited and amazed.
So your sentence context could work if you kind of change it slightly because it does not mean excited.
Ah, okay.
It's kind of like imagining how you would be. How would you be? I mean, you may be excited, but how would you be if you were tripping out on hallucinatory drugs?
Right, you'd be confused. You'd be potentially frightened. You'd be... Yeah, it would be bad. You'd be having a bad time and it would be too intense.
Yes. So confused. To trip out is like to be confused. Like, oh my gosh, Luke, I was tripping out because I thought I saw you at the restaurant yesterday, but I was like, he's not here in Southern California. I was tripping out. I was so confused.
Right. Ah, damn. I sort of knew that. I feel like I knew that one.
You did not go with your gut today.
No, I didn't. I don't know where
you gotta go with your gut.
Always go with your gut.
Yes.
Everyone.
Your intuition. Follow your intuition.
Ladies and gentlemen, always go with your gut. That's what we've learned from this.
If you've learned nothing today, you have learned to go with your gut.
Yes, I think so. Okay, well, you won. You won the slang game.
Whoa!
Congratulations. How do you feel?
Oh, my gosh. First of all, I'd like to thank my parents for introducing me to the English language. Mm-hmm. I would like to thank Dan, my English Across the Pond podcast partner, for always keeping me up to date with the most hip UK slang. My brain for really working today. Woo! Yeah.
Congratulations. You must be delighted. You must be chuffed, in fact.
I'm stoked about it.
Stoked. There's another one, listeners. Okay, well, there you go. And just to sort of finish off, I'm curious. Like, I was going to ask you, like, so in the UK, we get lots of American stuff. Like, we get lots of. I mean, I didn't know some of those slang words, but I feel like we get exposed to a lot of American English through films and TV and stuff like that. So, what about British English then? How do Americans sort of feel about British English? What is British English to you guys?
Weird. No, I'm totally kidding. I'm absolutely kidding. We definitely do not get as big of an influence of like British TV shows and movies here.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is. I mean, music. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, like growing up Rolling Stones, you know, so like music, it would be bigger, the Beatles, but not really with TV and movie, not TV at all. Mm. No way would there be TV for British TV shows. I feel like you'd have to get special channels, especially younger when there wasn't all of the like HBO and streaming things that they have now.
Right. Right.
Like on regular cable, there was just not British TV shows. And even with movies, you know, like when I was thinking about British when I was younger, I couldn't help but think of Mr. Bean.
Right.
Isn't he British?
He is British, but you know, he is like the absolute epitome of what all like international people think of when they think of British stuff, especially British comedy. It's usually Mr. Bean, Monty Python.
Yeah. So Mr. Bean would be like younger, and then it wasn't until I was kind of older, like in college, that I started meeting people, and then I moved abroad. And so that's when I really got more connected to especially British English, because I used to have a British roommate.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So she used like gutted and knackered and
Right.
Bloody hell, mate, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess for the Americans, like, British English is kind of almost like this boutique language or something. It's like a niche thing, you know? It's just like this thing that some Americans might be into, but they would have to seek it out, you know, by getting, you know, that subscription to that, you know, British TV channel on cable, or by, you know, getting interested in British comedy or British films and things. So it's something kind of like a geeky thing that some people get into.
Some people might nerd out.
Right. They would nerd out on British comedy TV shows and stuff.
Yeah. I would definitely say it's easier now, though. It's so much easier now with all of the streaming, and especially with comedy. You know, there's so much British comedy.
Mm.
Comedians, I should say.
Oh, yes, absolutely. A lot of them go to the States as well and kind of try and make it over there. Like someone like Romesh Ranganathan has been spending a lot of time in LA recently. And, you know, maybe you don't know him, but he's kind of a big deal over here. Over there in the UK. I'm in Paris, but...
What is his name?
Romesh Ranganathan. So he's of... he's of Sri Lankan origin. And he's very funny. He's a very funny man. He's been on, you know, most of the talk shows and stuff over there. And he's been making a TV show about sort of attempting to make it as a comedian in America, which is quite funny because a lot of the Americans he comes up against, like, don't really get his comedy, and they make lots of assumptions about him, and it's just quite funny.
I'll have to check it out. My husband loves comedy and, like, stand-up comedy, so okay. I'll have to ask if he's heard of him, and maybe we'll watch a special if he has it or something.
Yeah, I think he's got a special on Netflix, Romesh Ranganathan. Yeah, he's very funny.
Date night. Thank you.
There you go. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Okay, well, look, that was very fun. I'm absolutely gutted that I didn't win the game, but you know,
I'm chuffed.
But I learned a lot of slang, and I hope my listeners did too.
Yes, I hope that they all love it.
Just tell my audience how they can find you, your podcast, the teaching stuff that you do online, so that they can find you.
Yeah, so we kind of mentioned him, Dan, my co-host Dan. He's from the UK, and we have our podcast, English Across the Pond. So Dan and I created English Across the Pond because I am from the States. He's from the UK, American English for me, British English for him. And there's the expression across the pond when you talk about, like, going across a body of water, the ocean. So we have the pond, the ocean between us. So our podcast really allows our listeners to learn about British and American culture, language, differences, and naturally through conversations, because we have about 20 to like 23 minute conversations about various themes and topics. We do little to no planning before, so it's super natural, and we just kind of ask each other questions, and we like to compare it as if we were just sitting in the cafe chatting, like chatting about personality or chatting about summertime, chatting about clothing, you know, whatever the topic may be. And then at the end of every episode, we have a language focus, which goes into a little bit more detail about a grammar point that we may have touched on or talked about in the episode or used naturally. So our listeners are able to, you know, listen to a natural conversation, learn a lot of vocabulary, idioms, and slang, and then get a little grammar language focus.
Sounds great. And so where can people find the podcast?
Yes. So englishacrossthepond.com. Mm-hmm. And you can go to our website and you can have a little browse around there. We have, you know, our episodes, and I don't think we have as many episodes as you. How many episodes have you done?
I'm on about 570 something now.
Ooh, yeah, we're a little behind. 100 and something. I think 135 was this week.
Okay.
But we release a new one every single Friday. So every Friday there's a new episode available for our listeners, and we have membership as well. So you guys, you know, listeners can get the transcript, listeners can get the vocabulary and study plans and exercises we create for each episode. So it just allows them to dive deeper into each episode and learn more and practice speaking and writing and listening and vocabulary and all kinds of skills.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Great. Okay. So, EnglishAcrossThePond.com.
Yeah. EnglishAcrossThePond.com.
All right then. Well, I think it's time for us to draw this to a close.
Skedaddle.
Have a great afternoon.
Thanks so much for having me on, and you have a fabulous evening. I hope you're not knackered tomorrow and you get some sleep.
Me too. Me too. I think I'll be all right. I'm going to have a nice I'm going to go downstairs and be so English. I'm going to go and make myself a cup of tea, and I'm going to go and have a sit down and have a nice cup of tea. It'll be lovely.
Nice. Are you going to post up in like the living room or?
I'm just going to post up in the living room and I mean, it sounds so ridiculous when I say it in my English accent. I'm just going to post up in the living room and just have a cup of tea. I'm sorry, it doesn't work in my English voice, like this kind of Californian slang. But I like it all the same.
I hope that you can try to utilize it this week. And I'm going to use
Giz a butchers, mate. Yeah. Okay, it's a deal.
It's impossible to say not trying to do the British accent, but yeah. Well, thanks so much.
Part of the fun. You're welcome. Speak to you soon. Okay, have a nice day.
Have a good one. Bye.
Bye bye.
So there you have it, folks. That was Jen from English Across the Pond, the podcast. And now, if you liked what you heard there and you'd like to hear more, you could check out English Across the Pond. They have weekly podcast episodes, but also you could consider signing up for their gold membership package, which includes loads of cool stuff to help you learn English with Dan and Jen, and Jen and Dan. Jen first, Dan first. I think it's Jen first and ladies first, right? Yeah. So lots of cool stuff in their gold membership package to help you learn English with Jen and Dan. So I'm just telling you about this because you might be interested in what they have to offer. So here is some info that might be of interest to you, plus a couple of freebies. Freebies, that means like free things. So you heard Jen mention this near the end of the conversation there. Basically, if you sign up with their membership package, every week they send you a learning plan which contains loads of exercises, activities, tests, vocabulary lists, grammar explanations, and also a speaking task and a writing task each week with real feedback from Dan and Jen. So each week their members get a study plan with all those things. And Jen and Dan have set up a little freebie for any Lepsters that choose to become members, right? And that's two free study plans if you sign up within the first week of this episode being published. All right. So if you're interested, just click the link on the page for this episode or go to teacherluke.co.uk/EATP. That's English Across the Pond, EATP or EATP, if you like. teacherluke.co.uk/EATP to, you know, sign up for their membership package and get those two free study plans. All right. So I hope you're doing fine out there in podcast land. Don't forget to check the page for this episode on the website for all the slang that you heard there. And remember that Luke's English Podcast, well, the free ones anyway, will be a bit quiet in February, but LEP Premium is quite busy this month, so you could consider signing up for that. You'll see that it's very reasonably priced because I'm a very reasonable man. So there you go. All right. Thanks again for listening to the podcast. Do get in touch to let us know, as ever, what you think of what's going on in Lepland. But in any case, for now, it's just time for me to say goodbye. Bye, 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 bye.
Thanks for listening to Luke's English Podcast. For more information, visit teacherluke.co.uk.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you enjoyed this episode of Luke's English Podcast, consider signing up for Luke's English Podcast Premium. You'll get regular premium episodes with stories, vocabulary, grammar, and pronunciation teaching from me, and the usual moments of humour and fun. Plus, with your subscription, you will be directly supporting my work and making this whole podcast project possible. For more information about Luke's English Podcast Premium, go to teacherluke.co.uk/premium info.